Yeah, we should have called this one Svipnin, really, shouldn't we?
Svipnin.
Svipnin. Because of the V, like.
Oh, the V.
Yeah, they got a V, whether there should be an A, so we should have had Svipnin.
Svipnin.
Svipnin! Svipnin! Which is how we should have opened
we
the
should,
podcast.
We should probably open it with this, shouldn't we?
Yeah, probably, yeah. Oh, it's Christmas as well soon.
5 gold rings, 4 collie dogs, 3 Welsh hens, 2 turtles with gloves, Alan Partridge in a pear tree. Aha!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin!
Sapnin!
You're listening to episode 56 of Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith. That's myself and my good friend, Mo Rich, a.k.a. Morgan Richards.
Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards, and I feel
I'm going to kick you. I'm going to kick you. Don't do it. Don't do it. Please don't do it.
But I...
Don't do it. I know you want to do it. Look, I know you want to do it, and this time I've remembered because I saw you looking at your phone, which means you are calculating and doing these every week.
But funny enough, you should say that because I feel this episode, right, Sean, is going to contain.
I know you've got it ready. And you're
it's going to contain a mixture of pain, which you've already experienced.
I hate my life.
Joy,
which I've never experienced doing this podcast.
Ecstasy. And despair.
Oh, we've all taken it. The last one. I'm full of that fucker. Yeah, you had to do it. Anyway, our guest this week. Look how miserable I sound off the rest of the episode. I need to pick this up. Our guests this week are the very, very lovely Shapes.
Who?
Shivups.
Oh.
Shivups. Sorry. Shivups. I'll say it as it's spelled because that's how you read words and say them. Shivups are this week's guest. And also, it's Christmas as well this
week. Yes. So this technically is our Christmas episode.
Yes.
Ooh.
Nice.
Very festive.
Yeah. We got a band. We couldn't find a band with tinsel in their name. We found a band with a V.
I've written loads of letters to Father Christmas and I haven't got anything back.
It's because he doesn't exist, isn't it?
Oh.
So this week's guests are Shivups, Shivpez, or Overpez, as they're going by at the moment, because they're doing the greater that is greater
more
than Pez.
More than
Pez. Shapes are our guests this week. We had the lovely Griffin and Harry on from the band. They were tremendous. And we open with the exact question you think I'm going to open with. So,
to get the cat out of the bag, obviously, if you've seen Sean and Raiders live, he doesn't really like a V.
Look, what it is. I don't hate the bands, right? I don't hate the people. Some people are mistaken my hatred for a band's name as hatred for the band as and or musician. Not true.
It's not the case.
I love Pavaris. I very much like Shivam Fez, right?
You're not opposed to a bit of Church Viz?
I like a bit of Church Viz.
Yeah.
I like a bit of Rucksters, which some people is Raptors from Bristol, who have swapped the A's for X's.
Yeah.
Again, don't do that, but they have. So let them off, I suppose, in a way. It's too late now, they've done it. So, Rickscripts, Shivers, Chivers, I love them all equally. But again, don't use a V for. Don't use a consonant for a vowel in any way, shape, or form.
Okay. Well, we're going to get into that with Shapes, but I'm quite excited to have him on. They're a band that have broken a lot of boundaries in 2019, doing all sorts of tours, really all over the place. And really, the music they release is a mixture of so many different genres.
Genre defying, I would call them, because they're not...
That's a good word.
Overly... They're not straight up metal.
No.
They're not... straight up new metal. They're not an emo band. They're not a punk. It's mental.
But they've got like elements of rap and hip hop on there, and you know, Griff's vocal line, I hear a lot of that as well, and like influences from everything, but it works.
Yes.
And they've toured with a lot of metal bands and alternative bands as well. So
I think they're lucky that they can do that thing where they can cross. They could probably play with anyone, really.
Yeah, definitely. And I feel like 2020 is probably going to be a massive year for them. So excited to have him on now in the festive spirit.
Yes, yes, it was lovely, 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 lovely to speak to him at SWX in Bristol when they who did he play with?
They toured with when they were supporting Sleeping with Sirens.
Oh, of course, friends of the podcast, Sleeping with Sirens.
Of the podcast,
that
Sleeping
was the day
with
we
Sirens.
Did the doubler, of course.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, so thank you very much to Griffin and Harry and all the Shivups boys. I'm not going to say it because, you know, I'm not going to pronounce how you want to pronounce it because you spelled it wrong. But
no, but it was great to talk to them. So massive thank you to them and their team for taking time out, sorting everything, giving us their dressing room and kicking everyone else of the band and their crew out.
Yeah, sorry for the rest of the band for that.
But we kind of need a space to do it, don't we? So, yeah. I mean, but no, but thank you. Yeah. And yeah, we're going to be getting into all sorts because they've been so busy as of late. It is unreal because not only do they have a new single out right now called One Man Army, that is a really good track, but obviously over the last year, they've been promoting More Than or that.
Sideways V.
Yeah, Sideways V.
V pointing right. That's what the Raiders album is going to be called. V pointing right.
Oh.
It's not.
Oh.
It's going to be called More Than.
Yeah, so we're going to be getting into the new record as well, More Than. And they've also just released an acoustic EP.
Oh, you know, like you do.
As you do. So they're so busy. I mean...
Bloody hell.
They got a lot to talk about.
They do.
But these are two men who literally have the music industry running through their veins as well. So
yes,
they got
they
a lot to
yes,
talk
they
about.
Do. They do indeed.
And Griff also... earlier this year, had a couple of months away from Shapes as he was filming for While She Sleeps across the UK, Europe and Australia.
Yeah, so we talk about that. And it was a great chat with the lads. And yeah, we had a great time. So thank you again. Yeah, what's next?
Well, as is festive season.
It's very festive. It's,
you know,
look at all the tinsel in this room.
I can't believe you got this tree in here just for it.
You know me, Morg. Man of the people, I knew you were coming round, so I thought, in this 10 foot by 10 foot room, should I get a 40 foot Christmas tree?
Yeah.
And I'm sad the only way I could get in here is sideways, and it has to stay sideways like that.
But you have spray painted it black.
Yeah, well, yeah, and the tinsel sideways, because it doesn't...
Yeah.
But other than that...
I know it's sideways, so you can't get any baubles on there or anything, but I definitely thought there'd be more like Limp Bizkit and glass drawer decorations to go with it.
Well, they haven't brought any out to me, and I'm not like some of our Patreon supporters who are making their own merch.
Funny enough, you should mention that, because, you know, this time of year, people, like, you know, they struggle to find what gifts they should give to each other, you know, their loved ones, and they're like, oh, do I get them a cooking book? Do I get them this... that's the thing they don't really
should
need.
I adopt them a panda? You know, that type of thing.
Yeah, that type of thing. I reckon they
what
should...
What do you reckon, Morg? Tell us what you reckon.
That they should check out patreon.com/sapning for the perfect gift for your loved ones this Christmas.
Yes. Great advert there, Morgan. I love that. Oh, listen. Pointless sponsoring a panda, right? Because they're going to die and... not breed, right? That's on them. We can't make them breed, right? We've tried. People in zoos have shown them porn. They pandas will not have sex. They will not procreate, right? So pointless sponsoring them. So how about, instead of sponsoring them, sponsoring me and Morgan to stay alive, right? Because if you sponsor enough, I'll make love to Morgan so we stay alive. I don't know what that means, but I'll try it. If you do an INFT, yeah. Let's see what happens. Check out patreon.com/sapning. For as little as half the price of a coffee, you could join the fabulous Facebook community, Sapning Community Group, who are an amazing bunch of lovely, lovely people who we are meeting this weekend.
Yes,
enough.
We are. We're having our official Patreon Christmas party extravaganza in a secret location That's not quite a secret. It's only a secret if you're not a part of the group. So join the group and you'll find out and you get to have a massive Christmas meal with us.
When is that?
Tomorrow, the Saturday, the 21st of December, 2019.
Yeah. Jesus Christ, how far?
I forgot what year is already.
Yeah. Yeah, and the secret location, this. All right, cool. Yeah, so on the 21st, when we're playing in Bristol, at the Thekla, where my band's playing at the Thekla.
Yeah, and you're off, and then you're doing an after party at the Thekla at the same.
No, I'm doing an after party at Basement 45.
At Basement 45.
But that's also in Bristol.
Oh, okay.
I got a funny feeling this podcast meet might be in Bristol. I don't want to spoil it for everybody else, but the private investigator in me thinks he sussed out that it might be Bristol.
Anyway, take all your festive spirits, give them to us, patreon.com/sapnin. As Sean said, join the community, join the group, and meet your best friends, and just have a lovely, lovely time.
Yes, yes. But definitely come and see us play a boat, because I'm going to try my best to sink it.
I might bring armbands, because I am worried that that's actually going to happen.
Everybody should bring armbands. Stay near the life-saving equipment on that boat, because we're going to need it.
Also, if you're a lifeguard, why not come down?
Yeah, please come down to save others. Yeah, you're going to have some work to do.
Yeah,
if you're a lifeguard and you fancy, I fancy going to work today but not being paid for it, come on down to the Thekla where Sean will be trying to topple a boat. So, yeah, we've got that, which is cool.
A lot coming up. Now, this is the tail end of 2019. We're looking at things, exciting things coming now in 2020. And if you want to keep up with everything going on with Sapnin Podcast, why not check out our social media pages. Social media pages.
Social media picture. Yeah. Check out our social media picture at Sapnin Pod. That's at SAPPENINPOD.
Correct.
On our Instagram, social media, that's at Sapnin Pod, at SAPPENINPOD.
It's worth joining the Patreon just for the memes of everything that happens on this podcast. But without further ado, why don't we just go in to our lovely conversation with Shapes backstage. Ooh. At Shoops.
Shoops.
Do you know, they'll clear all this up now anyway.
They do clear it all
this
up.
They do, yeah.
I can't believe you started punching me. Anyway. Have a listen to this, for God's sake. Tidy!
Sapnin!
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Sapnin!
What?
Sapnin?
Oh, he's gone.
I'm not, where am I? I don't know. What's up with you?
Oh, just like that. I was trying to like amend my greeting.
Right, yeah. Sorry, I ruined that. Sorry, yeah. My bad.
Yes. So guests this week are Harry and Griff from Shapes.
Schweppes.
Right then, I tell you what we'll do. Right. We'll start with the elephant in the room.
Yes, let's
He's
do
been
it.
Practicing that all day.
He's waiting for this.
I literally told him about 5 minutes.
He's been waiting for this. Trust me.
Yeah, fire away. He's coming. I know.
Well, do you want to take this V situation?
Oh, what do you want to know?
Why?
Why? Right. Basically,
I just realised I was
You didn't ask a question. You just went. Right, come on then.
Yeah.
So. We were called Saitota when I joined the band.
Yes.
We were like, we need to change the name, change all that sort of shit. We went through like 1,000 fucking names. It's like, it's a very big decision changing your band name and like choosing a band name. And I don't think you realize how big a decision it is when you're doing it.
Yeah.
In all honesty.
I know that exact feeling right now with my new band. We literally just went, I don't know, I'll call it Raiders. I can't be asked.
Yeah, and you're like, yeah. You know, if we don't like it in the future, we just change it again. Yeah. And then you're like, we can't change a fucking name, it's a name. so we came up with the name Shapes because it's the name of the first song, and there was a meaning behind the name Shapes. But I think we're talking about the V as the elephant. So we typed into fucking Google Shapes band, and there was a band from Birmingham who were called Shapes,
which is really
from
odd.
Birmingham.
Yeah, from yeah. Birmingham.
They hadn't done anything for like, I don't know, 4 years, 5 years.
Yeah,
I was like, we can just jack the name, give a fuck. Like other people have done it. There's like an architect in America and all this, and then. We decided it wasn't worth the hassle or trying to buy it off them. So we were like, fuck it, all the rappers are just putting V's in their name now. We'll just put a V in it.
Nice.
And now when you type Shapes into Google with a V, it'll come up straight away.
And not like an octagon or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Perfect.
So we did it. And then even still, I had someone comment on my Facebook when I was like, I've just joined Shapes. They're like, there's a band from Birmingham called Shapes. So I'm like, you fucking wanker. Like,
yeah. I had that for a while. People were just like, there's only one Shapes.
Like, I was like, well, we're Schweppes, motherfuckers.
Yeah, well, we're different. Okay.
What are the other Shapes doing now?
Two of them in the pub. One's
no.
One's
no. I just meant, are they still a band? Are they?
Oh, the other Shapes. Oh,
no, you're not.
Oh, yeah,
no,
yeah, sorry.
No,
the other Shapes. Yeah. I don't think they've done anything since.
So you win, then?
No.
Yeah, we won.
To be fair,
so
yeah.
We didn't have to pay for it. Yeah. Yeah. We just get asked it in various interviews, now we just have to get more and more honest.
I wonder if you can claim it back now. I wonder if you'd be like, well, you've been defunct long enough.
Yeah, but then you've changed it again because you're now over Pez. Because you're more,
more than
Pez. Yeah.
That was like, so next album is going to be an A. There you go.
Nice.
Oh,
oh,
less than Pez.
Yeah, exactly.
All the different angles you could have it.
So eventually, no one even us, I was going to know what the fuck is going on. So, it's just
it's
going to
be a bracket one day.
Yeah. Just go through all the keyboards, see what we can do. Exactly.
Pez. Nice.
The band forming known Shapes, that's what you can be.
Oh,
like Prince. Like Prince.
Oh, okay.
What did he change his name?
No, he just had the symbol didn't he?
What was it?
It was his own thing. You know, he had the guitar shape like it. It was like a male and female symbol.
You know the male and female symbols?
Oh,
with the circle and he had one of them, but it had like a roof on it.
Yeah, and
it
then a little thing.
Like a twirly bit.
Like Led Zeppelin kind of thing.
Yeah.
Everyone had to announce him as the artist formerly known as Prince.
Right.
Because it had no name.
Because he didn't have Prince. So it was... Yeah.
So
that's a whole... kind of worms.
We tried to do that with the album. We tried to call the album just the Greater Than symbol on the label. Like, no. I'm like, no, I'm an artist. I'm going to stand my ground. They're like, okay, we won't make it. You're like, all right.
Oh yeah, I bet that would be difficult to. Would it be difficult to find?
I reckon. Yeah,
it would.
Yeah, if you put that and then album into Google, I'd imagine.
Yeah, but just Spotify was hard enough to find the wonderful band that is A on anything.
Oh yeah, I bet.
Yeah, but that's their own fault. Right?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, they fucked it there.
It's hard.
Yeah, but they weren't thinking, oh, in the internet everything will be searchable. Like, they weren't even thinking the internet when they started. They
were
a year before the internet.
It's true, actually.
Unsearchable. But yeah, anyway, let's get off A. We're not talking of fucking A.
I like A.
Yeah.
I
don't like fucking A.
Whoa.
If anybody in A listens to this, fight me. Jason listened to this, so hopefully you will fight me.
This has gone left field straight away.
Yes, it has.
And I love it.
Yes.
But of course, we're backstage here.
Hello?
Should we start this
now?
Should we start now?
Yeah. Oh, it wasn't on this whole time.
But obviously, we're backstage here. in Bristol,
yes,
where you were supporting Sleeping With Sirens on their UK and European tour.
Indeed.
Just got out of the jacuzzi. It's
better. Yeah. Back here. Tour bus has like a pole in it.
Just a standard backstage stuff. Yeah. Obviously.
I did just go in actually.
Yeah, yeah. You've got, literally
you've
private
got
jet.
Shrimp and caviar and champagne.
The pole. The pole. Yeah, there's actually a selection of caviar. Loads of different ones.
I've
yeah.
never seen a band that have gold bars on their rider before. Have we managed to get so many gold bars?
Oh, it's because we got to keep the merch cash weighted down somehow. So
good
we
thinking.
Just yeah, paperweights. You know,
that is a lot of paper as well.
Yeah. Keeps the backdrop down as well.
You know? Was that from all of the sales in Norwich for the merch?
Yes, the waterfront. Yeah. It was nearly sold out. So
how many pound a head do you think you did?
I reckon it was about 10,000 a head.
10,000.
Yeah, literally.
close.
Pretty close to that kind of figure.
Actually, in here, this paper.
Yeah, literally. This to burn it to keep warm.
This is an embarrassing conversation.
No, this is brilliant. But I was the first date in Norwich in real life.
It was actually really fucking good.
Yeah, As far as because usually first dates of tours, they're always everyone's always stressed and it's a clusterfuck. And I was like, oh, what's going on? No one knows anyone. Everyone's forgetting names and pretending like they know your name.
There's a guy called Bagel and a guy called Florida, and it's just stuck in my head.
Yeah, literally.
I nearly called him Donut last night. he was like, no, it's fine. At least it's in the same genre. And I was like,
Donut, so, Wisconsin.
I called him Samosa, and we're gonna fucking start throwing fists.
That's incredible.
Yeah. As long as it's circular and has a hole in the middle, he's cool. We're on good terms.
Surprisingly, he knows a lot about bagels as well. He was like, there's a flat bagel, there's a bagel with that hole in it.
Well, to be fair, I think if you're named after it,
you're gonna have to know your shit.
You're gonna have to do some research, innit?
You're probably gonna add so many questions about it before that he's probably just researched up.
Yeah, our guitarist Ryan Ollie was like, is that his actual name? It's like, you know what, we still don't know.
Of course it's not. He's a guy on a tour.
No,
bagel in Florida.
To see that on his birth certificate.
His first name's B. And his surname's Gold.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And his middle name is Cream Cheese. He's got to fill in.
Cream Cheese
Gold. He's got to fill in.
Come on.
It was dreadful and it didn't work. And Norwich as well for the first. But like, I know you've enjoyed yourself, but every time I've been in Norwich, it's been a bit of a tour.
Yeah, no offence to anyone listening to this in Norwich.
I don't think
from
anybody in Norwich has internet capabilities. We should be all right.
Well, there we go.
I've had to go to A and Norwich 5 minutes into this.
You have, yeah.
You're
going
to
be dead, didn't I?
The thing is, it's quite far. It's like,
that's what
compared
it is
to everywhere else, it's just a mission. So we were in Birmingham and we've gone there and like we're making it, and it's like shit, it's like 3 hour journey back to the Midlands, and then it's Bristol the next day as well. So it's like the guys in Palisades are like, oh, how long is it going to take you? It's like probably about 6-7 hours. Like, what?
No, that's crazy.
Mental.
Yeah.
That's a long way.
That's
like going to Glasgow territory, that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So but it was actually really good to circle back to the initial questione. It was very good. Enjoyed it.
Bristol tonight.
I'm sure this whole tour is just going to be a great experience for you guys to go out and promote these new songs to maybe an audience that wouldn't necessarily check out Shapes.
We always play with like metal bands, so it's like we've only ever done one tour this size in the UK, and that was 5 years ago with 36 Crazy Fists. Mm. And that was just like bikers and shit, and they did not give a fuck about us. Like, I was going on stage with the top knot and like singing, I've seen the ocean. Like, they did not give a fuck.
Yeah, they did not respond well.
And then this one, last night, we picked the complete wrong set list. We went out and like played our aggressive, I'm shouting, your mother should have swallowed you, at a bunch of like 16-year-old girls. And, like,
oh, right, okay, yeah.
So,
they still jumped, though.
Yeah, so we've amended the set. The point was the one end.
They still bopped.
So we've amended
fine.
That tonight.
Yeah.
We'll see if they still jump. If they don't, then it's back to the carnage.
The crowds are like, it's one of those crowds where they're all pretty young, but they're all like quite, I don't know what the word is for it, but like they can latch onto something quite easily.
Impressionable.
Yeah, so you kind of, it's really easy way to gain fans.
It was actually the same as that Crown tour, that American tour we did. Everyone on that was like, you go in and you play to people and suddenly you leave with like a room full of fans we played with like fucking Trivium and you'd leave with like five from like 2,000-3,000 people. And they'd be like, you weren't actually that shit. And you're like, thanks, you're not that much of a cunt either.
I had a couple of them, my old band, we supported Linkin Park, right, on 5 dates, right?
Did you fuck? Wow.
Yeah. So we were like, we're gonna be fucking rich after this. Let's
what
get
dates?
Loads of printed. Oh, we did. We did the first ever show in Greece, right? Imagine this, right? You've just been booked for your first ever show in Greece to 18,000 people. What a fucking debut in Greece that is.
Yeah, I didn't even know you could play in Greece.
Yeah.
They did.
It's just one of those countries that you never think of anyone playing.
You never see it on like the European touring, like,
no, it's always like a one off.
Greece. Sleep so 18,000 people, right? The backdrop was literally a mountain. And
yours was, or?
I mean the backdrop of the venue, genuinely a mountain.
Fucking hell.
And we were like, fucking, we'll get loads of merch printed. We're going to be fucking laughing. Over the 5 dates, we worked out, we played 125,000 people over those dates. We sold 14 t-shirts.
Wow.
We played in Lithuania, where we had a price match, obviously, with Linkin Park, our t-shirts. And the t-shirts were your standard week's wage in Lithuania.
Yeah.
And one person bought our shirt, and we were like, if I ever meet that man, he comes to gigs for free for life.
Literally.
A fucking week's worth of money just to cut.
He's buy probably one just paid about $2,000 for a t-shirt. Yeah. Like,
he just paid a stupid amount for a crap yellow t-shirt.
No, Gildan Heavy, two colour.
He could have had off me. Yeah. Cost us fucking £4 tops.
Yeah.
He's just spent his fucking week's
wage. It's a common misconception with, like, when you have a smaller band, like, to people who don't really understand it. And you're like, yeah, we're playing to this many people with this band. They're like, oh my god, then that's amazing.
It's those territories like Prague and stuff. We played there. We didn't sell a single thing on merch with Bullet. And I think they did pretty shit that night as well. It's so expensive comparatively to the price of living and stuff.
But sometimes like I'd rather play tours like this than maybe do my. Oh, I don't know. I do love the attention of a headline tour.
You just love attention, anyway.
Yeah, that's true. But new attention, this isn't it?
So
new people.
It's like it all over again.
Just stealing crowds.
Like, exactly, that's what it's all about.
I fucking love it.
Especially, like, we aren't big enough to go and tour, like, Europe and do well yet. So this is, like, imperative for us right now, you know?
Mm. Nice.
But is it kind of cool to just see, like, the differences of audience and fans in different places, and that, as you said, some will latch on to you and then some would just maybe don't give a fuck, really?
We've never done a tour like this over here, so we've only ever toured with metal bands, and they've always been pretty heavy, older crowds. So for us, this is like new territory over here. When we did it in America in like April and May, that was with Crown the Empire, and they had like the same kind of like demographic of fans, and we cleaned up there, like in terms of fans picking up, and merch sales, not like anything else.
The only time we've kind of experienced that in the UK is we did like two shows with Asking Alexandria, and they've got those kind of fans where they're
young,
young fans, and they're just like, if you tell them to bounce, they're gonna bounce, and it's just like
we had like what's it called? Not an encore before you come on. It's just the pre-core? I don't know.
Yeah, we were like waiting to go on. It's like shape's like,
Are they late? Like, what's going on?
Someone's shouting us. Like, it was mental. But
we never had that before.
Yeah, literally. I don't think
we've had that. Left thinking we were rock stars, and they went and played a shit little shit pub after that.
Yeah.
We had the complete opposite. On that Linkin Park Greece show, full circle again, we had the complete opposite of that. We had like a Linkin Park chant right before we went on. So we went on, and all the way through the first song, it was Linkin Park, Linkin Park. So the moment we finished, I went, shut the fuck up!
Oh, strong. My God.
Thinking, oh no. Silence. I went, Linkin Park. And they all went,
they got involved.
And they were like, yeah! I was like, look, if you give us 5 fucking songs, we'll get to them as fast as we can. We'll be out of your way. Linkin Park will be up here. The crowd were on our side then for most of it, and then a couple of people started throwing bottles, and then after the next song I went, right then, listen, if you want to throw bottles and you want to hit us, you're best off all throwing them the same time, right? So through this next song, if you want to throw a bottle, get them up and let's just fucking go for the old song. Old song spent diving, pushing bottles over our drummer, stopping him getting hit in the face.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Our one guitarist was turning, he was rocking out, and I literally saw it in slow motion in my eyes as he turned. Bottle of water, it is strings. Water went up into his face.
Oh, no.
Fucking brilliant. It was one of my favourite shows.
Because it's one of those things for you, you could have just like, you can see him coming, but like if you're a drummer, if you're a guitarist, like concentrating on your shit, it's like.
So, especially if you're a drummer, you are fucked.
Yeah, you're fucked. All you can do is kind of move your head a little bit, but if you see something coming for the, like, your fucking centre, that's it.
I'm a drummer's worst enemy, really. I just
game over.
That. But yeah, it's. What's the weirdest crowd reaction you've had where you've played with these metal bands?
I mean, I know what the worst gig reaction we've ever had is. Ooh. That was Butzerfest.
Yeah, that was pretty peak.
Ever. We actually haven't had that many like bad reactions. We've only ever been like heckled once, and that was a hometown show with
motherfuckers.
It's always one, isn't it?
Yeah, Trivium at the Roundhouse, and it was fucking terrible. My mic was cutting out. Like,
you still told him to shut the fuck up, though, and everyone cheered.
Oh yeah, no, yeah. I got it. It's good. I got good. I think that's.
It's one of those things where if you say something, you need to make sure it's the right.
Like, something about like go back to One Direction or like he was shouting shit like a bunch of times. And I was like, ignore it. And then there was a quiet bit. And he shouted something. I heard a few people laugh, and I was like, I gotta go back now. I think I said, like, I don't come to where you work and like tell you to slap the dick out of your mouth, shut the fuck up. He was like, telling me to get off the stage.
It's like this is for charity, you twat, or something like that, and everyone just went,
oh yeah, I was cutting my hair off. Yeah, get in with the charity.
Yeah, literally. Hit him where it hurts.
Get in with the kids, man.
Yeah, you people being nice. Yeah, literally.
He definitely felt like a twat after that, though, so job done.
Oh, I love picking people out. And in Leeds, there was just this one boy who was fucking just shouting bullshit. So I was just like, everybody just move away from that guy. And wherever he went, he couldn't get in with his friends again or like go anywhere. He literally was walking around with like a giant perimeter around him where people were like, whoa, no.
Yeah, he was
so brilliant.
That's amazing.
He couldn't go anywhere. So that's a good one. If you ever want to single somebody out, it ruins a night.
Yeah, but, don't touch that one guy.
Yeah. Nobody go near him.
No one touched that
guy.
We
had one with Fightstar, which actually isn't an old crowd, but I guess they were kind of a bit older. Because
it's kind of like a nostalgia crowd.
They came back to come and do this, and it was Manchester Academy, and it was fucking packed out. It was like, I don't know, 3,000-4,000 people in there. And I used to jump down the crowd and do this thing, like, you know, pop the fucking suits, and I'm like, brruh, 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 careful, all this bullshit. And I'm stood in the middle, and I guess the people had never heard our song. And it's fucking obvious. I've forgotten about that.
Dad,
bat! And expect them all to run at each other.
Nah.
Oh, mate, they didn't. And I'm in the middle, like, fucking, like, you would go on my first whistle, like, doing gladiators and shit, giving it everything. And and they didn't go. And I called them all wankers. And I walked to the stage. And thankfully, it was the end of the set. And I was like, cheers.
Yeah, because you just walked. I remember you walked to the stage, and everyone just went
through, like, a massive. What the like, fuck? Just like fucking Moses.
Oh.
And, at the end, someone tweeted just being like, mate, I've never seen anything so savage in my life. They just left him in there like a little lonely island. They were completely right, and I don't do that anymore. Our tour manager was like, maybe you need to just, no, don't give up. Just maybe you need to shout like 3-2-1 or something.
You did do that a few times, and it worked.
I was like, you know, fuck this.
Yeah,
I'm not risking it.
Yeah, it's not worth it because I've completely forgotten about that.
Oh, I didn't.
Never ever. No.
But on the more positive side of things, it seems like you guys are being very busy behind the scenes, creative, having the juices flowing. You just put out a brand new single in One Man Army.
Yeah, yes.
Seems that a lot of people have been giving that a lot of attention. How's that been?
Yeah, I mean, for you guys so far, kind of a bit of a different direction for us. It's kind of a bit more, I suppose, like dancey in your face, a bit quite a lot less metal. I mean, it's gone really well from what I can tell. There's been like a little bit of like the older fans, like the ones who were there from the first record and stuff, seem to not like it as much, which in some ways is kind of cool. It shows that you're doing something different.
But
it's been really fucking positive, and like I think basically off the back of that we got this tour, and obviously everyone on this is American, so it's getting radio play over there and shit, so cool. Happy days from us.
Can't complain at all, really. I mean, because we knew it still sounds like us, but there was definitely a few elements on it where we were kind of like, what if
it's also the first time that I think we sounded like us, like on that.
It feels like
oh, we found something here. Like, it never really had a sound as such before. It was kind of just like the characteristics of, I guess, me chucking a little rap in here and there. Other than that, we kind of didn't know what we were doing. But like, we're writing now at the moment, everything's like way more further left field than that was like a bridge, and now it's getting fucking crazy.
Nice.
More rapping.
Way more rapping, but I'm trying to do it less like Vanilla Ice, kind of like I just don't want to be categorized as rap metal, and I don't want it to become obvious where it's like where he used to scream, now he raps, and like that kind of cringy rap shit. I don't want to do that, like fucking giving it yo spray painting and that. Just with practicing, like trying out loads more different ideas, and it's kind of taking like a early NERD kind of approach.
Nice.
Like that dance sort of thing.
Yeah.
Just like those riffs that make you want to kick someone in the face but without
spoon-feeding
it to someone.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yes. Sexy kick.
Like sexy funky
That's a good way to think about it. Kicking the dick, you know?
Sexy kicking.
But like one you enjoy, you know?
Some people do enjoy it.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Each to their own. But no, listen to it. It does feel like there's like a mix of like inspirations and elements from.
It felt that, fresh. That's
yeah, but from
I,
that, like a kind of.
Really fresh.
Old school rap to kind of like post hardcore and like alternative hooks and stuff. So for you all, is it just different music all listening into on the van and personally and stuff?
Everybody
and just
in the band listens to something different. Like, I think, well, we all like the same stuff, but in terms of like what everyone's go-to shit is, I think it's quite different for everyone. In terms of like, if you asked each of us what our favourite band is, you're going to get a different answer for every person. Mm. So I think it's, sometimes it can be quite difficult because you've all got like, you'll hear one thing, you're like, oh, we could do this or that and the other, this, that and the other. But in the end, I think when it all comes together, it like, we don't, because sometimes if you try and mash too many genres together, it will just sound like a I don't know what it would sound like. It would sound shit.
But yeah. I mean, with that being said, on the first album, it was very much like us all sitting in a room writing together, and that's why it sounded like a clusterfuck of ideas. And then on the second album, it was like a couple of us sitting in a room, and then One Man Army was like me, and then a little bit of Ryan, and then now it's kind of like we're taking it, the writing in a bit of a different direction, where like if I've got a song, I'll kind of just keep it to myself, and if I have a vision with it, I'll just want to run with it as far as I can see it going. If I get stuck somewhere, then I'll be like, what do you guys think? And then we take it to the studio, and I think it helps a song become less like schizophrenic.
Yeah.
And the sound, if you've got a vision for something, I think you should chase it, you know.
So do you think writing now, you're just going to like try and write bits and songs like individually and then see what everyone else thinks, rather than just all get in the room?
I think that's what Griff's saying, in terms of like, you have a vision for a song in your head, take it as far as you can, and then when something doesn't really go well, like you're stuck on a part or you don't really know where to take it, that's when you kind of come to everyone else and like, what's going on?
We just kind of figured out how we all work and shit as well, so like I'm quite like I can work well with my mouth, if that makes sense. Like I can't play guitar well, I can't play drums well, but I can kind of tell someone what I want to do. So I sit down with Ryan quite often, and me and him will just kind of like vibe out, and he is like a turbocharger for my ideas. And then Yusef works quite well on himself, up with himself and stuff. So we kind of just flesh it out in those ways. And it's, I think you just learn how you work together is the main thing.
Who produced One Man Army?
Jim Pinder, who did last two albums as well.
Nice.
He's fucking sick, man.
Are you gonna
like
keep working with him in the future, or?
Yeah.
Nice. He's like a sixth member, man. He's just he gets me, man.
With someone else, like, just in terms of like broadening our horizons. But the idea of doing that is just like, if it's not broke, don't fix it. And he gets shit more than I get what our sound is. So I'll play something, he'll be like, this is fucking great. What are you doing? That middle eight's so safe. Like, it's fine for any other band. For you, it's not fine. You need to do something mental.
He's not afraid to be like, no, that shit.
And he's always like, you know what I mean? Even when I stand my ground and I'm like, no, fuck you, Jim. It's my song, my bad. I'm the songwriter here. And 10 years later, I'm like, sorry.
I did exactly the same thing with Jason Perry for me when we did an album called The Best in Town with him. And yeah, we were doing a song called Chiller in the Night, and he was like, oh, you should just repeat Chiller in the Night pretty much all the way through the song. And I was like, hey, chill out. Oh, I pay you to record.
Listen,
and he was like, no, you don't. This is producing. And then, when we listened back, we were like, oh, of course he was fucking right. Of course he was right. He knows exactly what.
It's the heat of the moment, and then when you go away with fresh ears, you're like.
I think everybody, like, you get to a level, and especially like, I guess, like, you've done two albums now, so we all think that we know best, especially for our bands, but then a producer comes in and just like tweaks it a little bit, and you're like, oh, that'll take us to the next level that we never thought about. We thought we could get it on our own, but it needed this.
I think a lot of like getting better at what you do, though, is also knowing how little you know what the fuck you're doing.
Yeah.
And as it's come along, I've realised, like, okay, I can kind of see a little bit of method in the madness to songwriting and shit, but I still, like, there's a million people out there that are way better at it than me. So I'm so, like, eyes and ears open and stuff when it comes to like any kind of producing or songwriting, because
I think it definitely takes you a while to get to that point, because like you said, as an artist and stuff, you're very much like, no, this is me, like, I know what I want, blah blah blah, but then it just takes someone to come in who's like more knowledgeable in a certain area of songwriting or another instrument or something, to be like, well, if you did this, and then you're like, oh, okay, I get it. So I think it's good to not be so
we closed, went and wrote some song, two songs with Dan Weller, nice. From Sixth, and learned so much from that dude. You know, he just like he did what like Young Guns, Bones, and stuff, and that couple Holding Absence tunes is and shit tunes is
tunes.
And you can just see how he transforms like a band and a song. And we saw that, and we were like, there's something in there that we need to fucking figure out. And he. Yeah, he's amazing to work with, and like we've taken the 2 days that we worked with him, we've taken so many lessons from that into our songwriting now, and the new demos are sounding so much better just from spending 2 days with the guy.
Yeah,
that's and like awesome. Having a beer and getting some fucking takeaway, like yeah, it's sick.
Awesome. Yeah, well, it just sounds like the more relaxed you are, the better the songs like you just work out really, and you're not just pressuring to get this bit done.
It's the pressure you want to take away, because then you end up just
never happens. Like there's always pressure. It's like what the fuck till the last minute. And you're like, try it's go fucked. Into it. Everything's fucked. The video sucks. The song sucks. And you release it, and then like 2 weeks later, you're like, whatever.
Yeah.
It's not it's going to be, but it's there.
Yeah. And speaking of getting creative, of course, you've just released an acoustic EP as well.
Yeah.
You've had three songs of yours, and just kind of reimagine them, stripped back. Is it quite nice for you to do something different like that and show the listeners kind of the other side of the band?
Yeah, because we thought we'd never do any, because about like a year or two ago you'd be like, hell no, like we're way too cool for that.
Speak for yourself, huh?
and then literally we were in America, and they were like, if you can do acoustic songs, like it really helps. So we just sat in a really hot toilet somewhere in
Tennessee.
In Tennessee,
broken toilet didn't work.
Yeah, but we came out the other side of that toilet
with some songs,
with some cool shit. Nice. So yeah, just decided to get it done.
Yeah, it was cool to like fuck around with the songs that are already there as well. Because normally when you go to the studio, whatever, it's like, you know, probably like Jason Perry said, where it's like, this is what you should be doing. It's like stressful, and you're thinking about kind of what the end result is going to be and all this sort of stuff. And then once the song's already written, I ain't got to write shit. I can just fuck around. So we were sticking like Nate Dogg kind of Nate Dogg noises, I suppose. So like, oh, all that sort of stuff in there, and like doing like baritone vocals and stupid harmonies, and just you can just have fun with it. It's way more nicer to like to do.
Cool. So, is there any other kind of ideas or little things like that in the pipeline now, or is it just kind of working towards like the next proper release?
So we're just like writing four singles at the moment, which is way more fun. I way prefer it, because like it's so strategic. It's like, what band do we want to be? What sound do we want to have? And like a lot of the time, I suppose, with albums, we've only done two, but you know that like once you get like a couple good songs, you're like, right, we'll scrape the barrel, see what other shit we can throw in here. Right, that's 12. Fucking A, we got an album. And then you record a bunch of songs that no one cares about, and they just go on the back burner and like get like, I don't know, 300 streams a month on Spotify, and that's that. And you're like, why did I waste my time making that song? You might as well just make bangers only.
Yep.
There's no point in like.
Well, that's been like a running theme on this podcast is that we've been hearing from all artists, and it seems to be. Just for like playlist sake as well, just write the best singles you can.
Playlists are a massive thing now.
Every 2 months or whatever, and then
we had a meeting about this the other day, kind of just being like, what do we need to like to help us get on tours and help us like boost the profile, really? You know, we've been doing this quite a long time, really, compared to where a lot of other bands are at. And like, what is it that we can do to like what do you need from us, effectively? And everyone just said Spotify numbers is the like the currency of the industry. Every band you go like, you know, we want to support, they go, how much do you do a month? Like, it's either how much do you do a month or how many people do you pull here? But like, that is it, and that's all from playlisting. There's a lot of bands out there that probably get like 300,000 streams a month that couldn't pull a fucking pencil to a gig, you know?
Yeah. It's mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's sad in a way as well, that it's kind of locked.
Shit, man. It's really shit. Way,
like. Yeah, but it's good to hear you guys talk about that, because I don't think a lot of people like and fans of bands or people listening to this realize that's how things work out in the end. Like little things and numbers like that
quickly can change as well.
It
went from like once like, what streaming services, that'll never be a thing, to that is everything.
Well,
now
look at, yeah, like, well look at Tool, we're like, we're never gonna put our music on streaming websites.
Yeah,
we want to put an album out, all right, yeah, how do we do that? You have to be on streaming websites.
We might as well just put the whole thing on.
They put the whole back catalogue
and everyone went mental for it. Everyone went crazy. It was like, oh, World Tool Day, and it was like trending like worldwide on Twitter.
I saw it, Tool giving in, you've had to give in to the man.
Poor Tool. But at the same time, they were probably looking at it like, we should have probably done this a few years ago.
I wonder if they got more plays by doing it.
Yeah, because actually, I know a lot of people who had never listened to him before because they couldn't, or it wasn't easy for him to do it. And then on that day, they were just like,
It's too hard for me to find Tool anywhere else. I just want to look at Spotify.
I didn't even notice they weren't on Spotify.
I can't even be bothered to check YouTube.
I went back to the early NERD stuff, just kind of like trying to get some like inspiration. And some of their songs have like, you know, the Lap Dance and Rockstar have got, I don't know, 50, 70 million on them or something. Yeah. Some of the early tracks have like 50,000. Yeah. Like, dude, we got songs in the fucking, from our first album that got more than that. And it's because they were added on so late and it's not like in the public eye. So you're kind of better off adding it all now and people go and listen to it because it's a fresh release and you get daily mix or whatever the fuck they do.
Yeah, and I think as you mentioned, like having that content to really spread out over time makes the whole thing easier as well, not just
so much easier.
Just like with the album, obviously you're putting all those tracks out and some people get so lazy they'll listen to what, 4 or 5 tracks and then like, oh, I'll go back to that later, and then they just don't just listen to the same 4 or 5.
It's the same with like fashion comes out like every couple, like every month, not every month, every couple months there's like a new range that comes out, and like Apple have a new fucking phone every year, or every, it's like 2 a year now. And you just need that product rollout. You need to remain relevant because people just forget, and you need to just be present all the time. What's brutal for us is we released the album less than a year ago, and we're already considered off cycle.
So it's mad.
It's mad.
Trying to get budget to go and do this tour or that tour, you're like, oh, you're off cycle now. It's like, yeah, it's not even been a fucking year. We haven't done a European tour yet.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Because normally it's like a band will do like 18 months, 2 years, if you're lucky.
It used to be 18 months,
I thought.
And then
once you got bigger,
you could do like, crack out one every like 5 or so.
Yeah. And then, you tour to get the album out there. Now it's completely the other way around. You put an album out so you can go out and play gigs.
To make money. You do what we did and fucking get to the end of your tour and then release it on the last show. And you're like, where are the gigs? March. Okay, 6 months. That's cool.
We've done the acoustic EP, is it?
Yeah.
Do you think there's a chance of maybe like a remix?
Ooh.
Like a dancey one, maybe a hip-hop-y one?
The thing is we're all shit at production, so we'd need someone to come in.
You could shop it out to a producer.
I'd like to do like a hip-hop one where we just kind of like took all the tracks and brought them down to just like not real drums, basically. Yeah. Kind of fucked around, had it quite like hip-hop-y, and then just take out all the bits that wouldn't work. That'd be quite fun, I think.
Nice.
Cut and chop. Basically just cut me out of the whole thing.
There's a name for it. You can be on the front cover, that's cool.
Yes, that works. That works for me. That's
Harry
fine.
Reimagined, that's what it's called.
Yeah.
Harry, cut and chop.
Looking into the distance. why is he on the cover? No, we had to cut him out of the record, so we had to give him something, you know?
Reimagined his drums, so we've just put his face on the cover to remember.
You can be on the decks.
Yeah.
Boys, pretending. I'd love a DJ in my band.
Oh, trust me. The second I find someone, we've nicknamed him Pegasus already.
Impossible.
They're just like a mythical beast. Especially in the UK.
Yeah. Like,
Where are they? Is there somewhere we're not looking?
I'm sure DJ Lethal's free for something.
Is he?
No, he's not.
Is he in Limbiscuit and House of Pain?
Yeah, but I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
come on, they're not.
Yeah, but Shapes though. Yeah, right.
Exactly. See,
right, guys. Come on, let's be real.
And we know DJ Lethal listens every week. Oh, obviously,
I'm sick of him. I'm sick of him emailing us. Leave it out, Lee.
Lee.
It is his real name.
First name basis.
Surname Thal. Same as Big L. Oh,
cream cheese. Full cycle. Going back there.
I'd fucking love a DJ in my band, but they're impossible to find. Because I don't know if many kids are getting into turntables anymore.
No.
They're pretending to.
Everything's CDJs, like. So,
yeah. But it's all like house music and shit. That's what people want to do. But I saw the guy from, what's his name? Tino from Of Mice and Men. He does like the sampling of old records and shit. And he puts it up on his Instagram. I'm like, genuinely never actually seen someone who's into that. Like the proper old school art, yeah, of picking like one little bit, like I don't know, a harmonica from some 20s record, and then just putting it over like a House of Pain or like a Public Enemy.
So Kanye West has, he's got some, he actually like hired someone to like just travel the world looking for like weird vinyls in shops and stuff, and then for like possible samples that he could use on shit. Like, it's mental. Crazy. Like literally just had one guy who we just sent to record stores across the world.
I wouldn't mind that job.
It's not a bad job.
Yeah, you're right.
Not Kanye.
You could just tell him. Yeah, Kanye, you listen every week as well.
Yeah.
Stop tweeting me for a start, you're not coming on.
Love the new album.
Yeah, bring my BlackBerry charger back, actually, mate.
But yeah, that's a job, mate. Because you would just go, oh, I haven't found any today.
Yeah, we just go and pick up. Where's my money?
Just sitting on Splice, like, I got this one.
Yeah, have you heard the song 99 Problems by a man called Jason Z? No, I haven't. Oh, check it out, it's wicked. Yeah, what a job that is.
Nah,
that
would be a.
She'd take my money.
That's a good one,
yeah.
Just him furious. Of course I've heard that one. Yeah. What a mad Christian.
Jesus Christ, man.
he's gone a bit wild, hasn't he? Old Kanye West.
He's loving it. Well, I mean, was he ever not wild?
Yeah, that's true.
Exactly. I mean, I don't think he was.
I mean, high school dropout.
The problem is like when someone's insane and they are going insane and they are good at their art, it's quite difficult because you sit on the fence going, yeah, but all great people were insane. So you're like, you kind of like, is he insane? Is he great? Is he great insane? I don't know.
It's a mixture in it.
Yeah.
Little column A, little column B. Yeah, nice. I don't know how we got to Kanye West.
I've enjoyed this journey. But speaking of mad experiences, Griff, one thing I did want to mention, of course, you got a filling for While She Sleeps on a couple of dates
across
Europe and Australia and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
How was that for you? It must have been crazy stepping in and really taking on that role.
Do you know, it was fucking wild. Like, they asked me to do... they asked me to do 2000 Trees first, and I only had to learn like 3 songs, which is all right. And they're like, yeah, and then we'll take you to Prague, which is like 2 days later. I was like, okay, cool. What's the set that's going to be? They're like, I don't think they got back to me for a bit. So I learned the 3 and I'm kind of like, well, I better start learning the other ones because it's going to be a headline set. So like at this festival, and then like 2 days before, they're like, oh yeah, we're going to chuck Brainwashed in there as well. So I'm like, I got to learn 9 fucking songs here, guys.
Oh my God.
Can you tell me which ones I'm learning? But, yeah, it was sick, and I didn't actually fuck the lyrics up once, which is amazing.
Oh,
like,
awesome.
I think the adrenaline of just being on the stage and like playing to such wicked crowds that, you know, they got good tunes, and you know, they got a lot of fans that are really into it and stuff. So like the first 2 shows was just all about getting through them, but I did and I had a lot of fun, and they all seemed super happy with it. And then going to Australia was insane because it was us. Well, I say us. It was Sleeps, then Polaris, then Architects. So we flew in. Got there at like 10 o'clock at night or something. You know, it's a fucking brutal journey. It's like the longest journey you can take as a human being, basically. Got there, like had like an 8-hour sleep, felt absolutely fine. Woke up the next morning, was like, yeah, right as rain, jet lag, who fucking gives a shit? Get there and suddenly it's like, oh, it's 12 o'clock in the afternoon, but it's actually like 5 a.m. for me. I've got to be like on stage singing 9 songs for like in front of 3,000 people, and like there's Architects everywhere, and I'm just like, I don't know anyone. It's like, suddenly I was like,
I'm spaced out.
I've got to sing. I can't sing because I'm so fucking tired. And like that first day was like, what? Like I've never had a panic attack, but I think if I was ever gonna have one, it was gonna be on that first day. And then I just hit some JD before we went on stage and had a great show. Didn't forget anything after that. It was plain sailing. After that, it was like most fun you can have with your pants on. You know?
Yeah.
Some of that traveling can be brutal. I mentioned earlier that I went to Japan once and I had such bad jet lag that we were in a bank and I went, oh, boys, earthquake. And the boys are like, nope, just me. I was so tired. My body was just like, you need to go to sleep now.
Just turning off.
Oh, it was awful. But
I've only had that like once.
It was that, and then just like knowing that I had to go and it wasn't just that I was like singing someone else's songs, it's that I was like, it wasn't like just playing the guitar or playing the drums, I was fronting the band. So I was like, what am I gonna fucking say in between songs? Like, do I say we're while she sleeps, do I say there while she sleeps?
Oh yeah.
Like, and they're, you know, they're all like going, this fucking singer's like, you know, they haven't got their singer in, so they're probably, I'm trying to not make them nervous, but in doing so, like Sean at one moment comes up to me, he's like, you're making me nervous. I was like, I'm sorry, I'm not. Yeah, just a lot of being in your own head and stuff. Yeah. But yeah, it was like one of the most amazing times.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah, and just, you know, I've seen bands like at our level. We've got from the ground up to where we are at. For one reason or another, I've seen it a lot higher up. You know, but I've never seen it at that level where, you know, they're all kind of. They're touring nice, but they're still like having to work pretty hard, and they're all still very involved in every decision. It's not just like someone steam cleans their pants for them, sort of thing. So it was amazing to see it at that level, and I learned so much from those guys. Like, they've really got their own hustle going on.
Yeah, well, that's one of the big things that we talk about on Eurobottom is, yeah, that old DIY ethic they've got, and how hard
they mental.
I don't think there's an example.
What they've created up there in Sheffield is fucking blows my mind.
Oh, the warehouse and stuff is crazy.
I just see it online, and I'm like, fuck.
Yeah, I don't think there's an example of a band that embody DIY as much as they do in terms of what they've achieved. I'm sure there's someone out there that like makes their own fucking microphone or something, but they're so involved in everything they do, and they're constantly like. All five of them as well. It's not just like there's one ideas guy. You sit in the van and they'll be like, oh yeah, we should put on a festival. And they're just like, so one person's chiming in and be like, yeah, the font should be this. And you're like, what are you thinking about the motherfucking font? Yeah, they're all fucking pinging off each other, which is
great.
Very inspiring to be around.
Yeah, so it just seems like you had a great experience filling in.
Yeah. I came back and I'm like, right, we need to nick this.
We need a warehouse. Right now.
Brilliant. Awesome, yeah. And with all that, now, as we've mentioned, you've got so much going on for the rest of the year and in 2020 as well, but what's next for Shapes? And
I'm just continuing writing shit at the moment. There's going to be a release next year, and touring, releasing new music, and trying to basically grow this baby as big as it can possibly go, which I think
nurture her, turn her into something sweet. Ooh, that's the plan. Yes,
awesome.
Yeah, cool. Well, thank you very much for doing
thank you for having us.
Thank
you.
First podcast.
Take that podcast. Yeah, fuck you, Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
What is wrong with me? That got really
angry. You're learning for everyone.
Liam Gallagher said it though, didn't he? He's like, call someone a cunt, they'll never forget you.
That's true, yeah.
Liam Gallagher, you're a cunt. obviously listening, yeah.
We're trying to get him next
Who
week.
Who else can we insult? Let's go.
Luis Capaldi. Fuck him. I like him.
Put my face on your t-shirt. It'll promote my band amazingly. Yeah. Please.
Oh, it'd be fantastic.
It would be.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you guys. Cheers.
Wicked. Cheers, lads. You're listening to
Sammy Podcast. Yes.
Shoops, Shapes,
Shavups,
Shapevs, Overpez,
Shapes.
Shapes.
Yes.
Episode 56.
Lovely.
Sapling Podcast.
Yes. Griffin and Harry were absolutely delightful to us. To be honest, I was worried, right?
Yeah.
Because we make a joke almost weekly about how much I don't like V's being in band names.
That's correct.
I saw the drummer from Shapes in London, he said, can me and Griffin come on? We only need 5 minutes. To which I said to you, they want to come on and fight me.
And to be fair, you had been on stage earlier that day saying something bad about bands with V's in
them. I said, fuck bands with V's in the name. Which, yeah, it's not a mean thing. It's just, hey, consonants don't replace vowels. But yeah, I was worried that they were going to punch me to death, so I told you.
Oh yeah,
when we were walking into the venue, I said, "Right, if they start punching me now, I'm going to need you as soon as possible to get as close as you can to mic it up."
Yeah, not to defend you or join in. No,
I was
mic it
thinking,
up so I can get
best to listen to.
Yeah, exactly. The audio beatdown.
More people would probably download this if you could hear me getting smacked in the face.
Yeah, I was prepared to mic up the fight and fists and, you know, probably ask him to
Give it to him harder.
Yeah, it's like, that's not picking up. You need to really give him one. Come on.
Yeah. Make one of them an open handed slap. So we can, at least we get a slap on it. And then you can carry on kneeing him in the face.
Yeah.
But no, they were absolutely lovely.
They were.
They're great boys. They're a great band. I urge you to check them out, Shapes. And yeah, the record More Than. Again, lovely. And yeah, the bassist Grant, I've been friendly with for years.
You have.
He's a top chap as well.
Oh,
so.
Lovely people then, aren't they?
All round lovely people.
Yeah, and as we mentioned earlier, they got loads of new releases lately, so go and check it out. Go and check out the new single, One Man Army. That acoustic EP is really good as well.
Yes.
Especially like those kind of, as I was saying about it, was rap, hip hop kind of vocal lines. They really come through on those acoustic songs
like
as well.
It's, yeah, it's,
yeah,
like
it's a bit different, isn't it? It's not just
new metal.
How are you spelling new though? With a V?
N-E-W-N-U-N-E-W-N-U-N-E-W-N-U. New metal.
I think they'll take that and they'll put it on all their...
New metal. Sorry, I've gone. Mike, I'm mad. Sorry, man. Merry Christmas to everybody listening to this. Happy holidays.
Oh, yeah. Happy holidays.
For our friends who are not Christian like me.
That as well. And yeah. What's... I was going to say, what's the best excuse you've heard for someone celebrating Christmas that isn't of that?
Best excuse to celebrate?
Yeah, because people go like, oh, I can't wait for Christmas because of the food.
And then you're like, oh, what food you can have all day every year? Mental.
There is one food that I know, I could make it, but I'm very lazy, like, in that kind of sense, that I love. Christmas to me, right?
You were telling me, whatever this food is now, you cannot get it all year round apart from...
No, you can't. You can't buy it in the packaging it comes in or anything. I can't go to the shop and buy this item, and when I tell people about this item, they look at me going, you're mad, what's this
about? Well, stop wasting fucking time and tell me what the fucking item is.
So you know pigs and blankets, right? Yeah. No. Instead of the sausage... It's cheese. It's bacon. It's cheese wrapped in bacon. You can't buy that. You can't buy it. I've tried, Sean.
So can't buy cheese and you can't buy bacon.
Yeah, I know. As I said, I can make it, but they come in little things that I love.
How much time do you need? Like,
I'm a busy man.
But you're not too busy to fucking cook some bacon, then wrap it around some cheese.
No, you...
Surely, right? If anything... It's equally as much cooking time as it would be if you just bought the cheese wrapped in the bacon.
It's not the same, though.
It is. It's exactly. Right, this is the problem. All I have, like, I know I seem like the Grinch, right? And I am, right? It's a mixture of being a Grinch / realist, right? When I look at things with my realist brain, it says to me, right, make this as simple as you can, right?
Yeah.
So Christmas to me is a Christian festival of celebration that the majority of people who are not Christian for some reason celebrate.
That's what I was trying to get
because they love getting presents, which is selfish. Or they seem to go like, oh yeah, but think of the food. Oh yeah, because I can't eat any other day of the year. You're meant to.
I agree with you about that, but cheese wrapped with bacon for me is what Christmas is all about.
Well, you can have that any day. You can have that in the middle of summer. That sounds perfect for a barbecue.
That's the dream.
Fuck me. Christmas. Oh, I give up. Have a good Christmas. I hope you have a great...
Yes,
I hope your family
have a
great festive
wonderful...
period. Whoever's listening to this, I hope you win the lottery. I hope people listen to this have the greatest Christmases ever. I genuinely do. Because God knows I could do with a good one. It's been 4 years at least since I had a good one. And then, we have another podcast coming out before my birthday, don't we?
Yes, we do. Next week will be 2 days before your birthday.
Oh, nice. Yeah, my birthday's on the 29th, so I've had a crap last 3 birthdays.
Oh.
So I'm trying to have a good one this year.
Okay, we'll make sure you have a good one.
I hope so.
We will.
I hope so. Thanks.
I'll sort something.
Cheers. I don't want you to do that.
No?
I can only imagine. I don't want to go watch Manchester United Football Club.
No, I said something good, man.
I don't care about millionaire children playing their hobby. I'm not interested.
Look, I love Man United as much as the next Manchester United supporter, but... We're not playing
only
very
when they're
well.
Winning.
No.
You said like the next.
Oh, right,
normally
okay.
Glory supporters.
Yeah, but Glory? I wish we had a Glory.
Yeah, but you were good. Anyway.
This is going on. Right, so yeah, anyway, Merry Christmas to you all and to all a good podcast episode. Does that work?
Hopefully, yeah. Hopefully you've enjoyed this.
Hopefully you have. Thanks again to Shapes and Shoops and over Pez. I always thought FIFA was better than Pez anyway. But
FIFA.
We need a word of the week.
All right.
Because if someone's gotten this far, somehow, I don't know how, but if you have...
Sorry.
You need to let us know. Do we go festive or do we go...
Yeah, you can come up with one this week. Festive word, please. Christmas festive word of the week is...
Hashtag cheese bacon. that's not very Christmassy. Right,
Jesus Christ. Yeah, neither is cheese and bacon. But cheese and bacon's all year round. Anyway, yes. Right, thank you very much. Festive. This has been Sapling Podcast.
Wait, we're not finished yet?
Are we?
No, we're not. It
feels like we've been going forever.
It hasn't. Because, you know, tomorrow, which is going to be Saturday, the 21st of December.
Yes.
Sean's band Raiders. That's at Raiders Band UK on Instagram, Twitter, and the Facebook.
Well remembered and well plugged. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much. They will be performing in Bristol.
Yes.
At the Thekla.
Which is a boat.
It's a boat. So
it's the first time... No, it's not the first time I've ever played on a boat. It's the first time I've ever played on that boat in Bristol.
Ooh.
So come along. I'm going to try my best to sink the fucker.
But why are you playing on a boat in Bristol?
Because we got asked to. It's a Christmas
event. It's a Christmas event.
It's a Christmas event put on by a band called Rixxupsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxsxs again, I'm not going to give them the benefit.
Do you reckon all these bands were playing Countdown and then Carol Vorderman ran out of like vowels?
Or do they have a dyslexic in a band? Is that what you...
That too.
Yeah. Possibly. Makes sense. I've spoke to Raptors about it. It's because it's easier to find. But anyway, also, it's not easy to find Zix. That's another name of your band. Yeah, so Raptors, The Well Runs Red, Idiom, Raiders, and five other bands are all playing Thekla. And then afterwards in Basement 45, which I believe is next to the Hatchet in Bristol, I am DJing. And when I went there last, they had emo karaoke. So I ended up singing Lap Dance by NERD, not an emo song, or a karaoke song, really. And Into Cute Without E by Take Back Sunday,
which is the ultimate emo song,
which, yes, takes a lot of lung work.
How did you do both vocal parts on your own? That's what I want to know.
Strained.
Okay.
Mainly straining.
Okay.
I'll be honest with you.
Well, maybe next time you and me can do a duet of it. No?
People can't see this, but I am looking you dead in the fucking eye and shaking my head.
That'd be something though. That'd be funny as hell.
It'd be something, yeah. It would be something as... Yeah, like...
We might get kicked out afterwards because of how bad it was.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Banned from Bristol. Yeah. But
imagine that. You can never come to this place again because your singing was so bad. That should have happened to me before now, to be honest, but it hasn't.
Anyway, Raiders, yeah, you're playing.
Yes, we are. Come see us, 21st of December, and then we go on tour at the end of January, 27th Ooh. Of January onwards, playing for a week in the UK, playing small pubs for Independent Venue Week. Check out at Raiders Band on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, and all the dates are there. Some of the gigs pay on the door. They're pretty much all going to be pay on the door, I reckon. But if you can get tickets, get tickets now. If there's not a ticket link for them, turn up and pay on the fucking door. I'm sure we can sort that out, you getting in.
It's worth going just to see Sean scream in your face. And to keep up with everything related to the podcast, at Sapnin Pod on Instagram and Twitter. And of course, check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/Sapnin, for all your festive gift ideas for everyone else. Literally now, if you're listening to this, it's a couple of days before Christmas, and you're like, shit, I haven't got my Auntie Susan a present, give her a monthly subscription to our Patreon.
Yeah.
She gets in the group. Look, she's going to enjoy all the memes that go on. She's going to join the banter. She's going to make friends. Everything's going to have a wonderful time. Oh, so why not?
If your Auntie Susan is lonely as well, there's a $15,000 tier where we go out to the middle of the sea and I make her unlonely. So have a think.
There's also a tier where we'll live with her auntie.
We'll take turns living with Auntie Susie. Who's Auntie Susie? Where'd she come from? Anyway, if you've got Auntie Susie who's very lonely, why not get me and Morgan to live with her for only £15,000 a month? You must supply shelter and accommodation and toilet.
But speaking of our Patreon, we'd say a massive thank you to not only all the beautiful names that are in the description of this podcast episode. Please have a look at it. I spend a lot of time writing these stuff. There's loads of names we have to thank, and we love everyone who's ever been a part of our Patreon because it helps us so much. It helps this podcast go each and every week, speaking to your favorite bands and other people and everything else in between. But we've got to give a massive shout out to the elite members of our Patreon community. Those are the top tiers, and they are as follows.
Thank you very much to Dana Lasnova, Kylie Wheeler, Mitch Perry, Samantha Spray, John Price, Amadine Urbano, Emma Barber, Liam Connolly, Kelly McYoungface, don't know why she changed her name to that, Nathan Croshaw, Admiral of the Fleet, Paulie McHirschface, I see what's going on, yeah, Kelly Irwin, Scarlett Charlton, Janelle McCastonface, Loz, Nessa Smith, Katie Puttock, Jenny Munster, Amy McCampionface, Emily Senegals, Lucy McDeardsface, Martina McManus, Caden Denudston, Erin Howard, John and Emma, I.O. James Oakley, A Pint Tomorrow in Bristol, Kieran Lewis, Marcy Jacobson, Mike Cunningham, Shani Maxwell, oh, here we go, Shani Meyer, McBoxel Anderson face, Arif, Awididididididaliwali, that makes me sound racist, but that's literally what he's written, and that's not his name, Sharif Awididididadali, Padraig Anthony Wakefield Newbury, Michael Engler, Lydia Henderson, Livy Cropper, Kelly Cannon, Amy Thomas, Chester Draws, Real Admiral Scotty McJones face, Stuart McNaughty, McNaughty face, fucking Jesus Christ, his name's oh my God, Stuart McNaughty face, Jamie Bluer, Tony Michael, Jenny Robertson, Craig Harris, Jordan Burchard, Just Lawrence, Kate Stevenson, Ryan Woodman, Becky Maloko face.
Wow.
And last but not least, Sarah McJames face.
I don't, I'm still to say to that.
I do. You're all fucking mental.
Yeah, yeah, there's that as well. But why McFace? Why is everyone the...
Body McBoatface, isn't it?
Oh.
Yeah. But fair play to you all. That was very funny.
It was.
I've enjoyed that. I very much enjoyed James Oakley's one, which I'm not repeating because I might have to then buy him 2 pints. But yeah, thank you so much to those people and anybody at all who's part of our Patreon, patreon.com/sapnin. We appreciate you all. You're a fucking absolutely great bunch and you are some of the best things that have ever happened to me in my life. That's including everything I was lucky enough to do with my former band, The Blackout.
Aww.
You're all fucking superstars and I love it so much.
And I feel very highly of you all as well.
Yes, not as much as me though, because he tells me he doesn't like you that much.
Hey, look, there's like 2 of them I don't like, okay?
Oh. Hey, if you're one of the Patreons, why not guess which one of the 2 Morgan doesn't like.
There we go.
Yeah.
Yay. I'm joking. I love you all. Really,
it's,
really.
There's 2 of you. You fucking really. Anyway, is that it? Are we done?
Merry Christmas.
Happy New Year.
No, because there's never episode
right,
before
ignore
New
that.
Year.
Don't have a Happy New Year just yet then.
No.
I'll say that next week.
Yeah.
All right.
So it's Merry Christmas.
Have a good Christmas.
Enjoy whatever you're doing.
Jesus' birthday.
Die Hard is a Christmas film.
Yeah. I shall count to 3. There shall be no 4. Mr. Takagi will not be joining us for the rest of his life. That's my Alan Rickman impression.
That's really good too,
thanks,
right?
Thanks.
Like
Harry
that.
Potter. There you go. It's like he was here, but he's dead. So he's not here. But technically, you. Anyway, Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas to you, your family, and Hans Gruber.
It's Christmas!
Fucking shoot me.
Sapnin!
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.